Don't forget your Honky Tonk hat trick, brought to you by Bud Light, is back tomorrow night at Honky Tonk Central prior to the Predators-Sharks game at Bridgestone Arena. While you're there, register for a pair of tickets to a game. Passes the Bud Light Zone. You may win a VIP hockey experience. Be sure to stop by Tootsie's, Rippy's, and Honky Tonk Central before the Predators' weekday home games for specials on Bud Light. Just so you know, the VIP hockey experience is a pair of tickets to an upcoming Predators home game, dinner for two before the game, and a ride on the Zamboni during intermission. Let's bring in our man Dan Rosen, NHL.com. Dan, how you doing?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Well, we were just talking in the last segment about the trading deadline, which is Monday. And last night the Predators were in Detroit and all the brass were up there. And I told Willie maybe they were just kind of trying to throw everything off by walking around and let everybody see them so people can start whispering that the Predators are honing in on some Detroit Red Wings players. How crazy or not? How do you think? What's your temperature for how Monday's going to play out or everything leading up to Monday?
Well, that's what it is. It's everything leading up to Monday. You hope the teams wait and Monday becomes a pretty good show because, that's what you want. You want it to be a big day. I think it's a seller's market. I mean, a guy like Nick Holden gets traded to the Boston Bruins. He's maybe their seventh defenseman, and they give up a third-round pick and a prospect in Rob O'Garrett to the New York Rangers. Michael Kempney gets traded out of Chicago, a defenseman, goes to Washington for a third-round draft pick. I mean, I think that indicates, you're talking about depth defensemen who might not crack the lineup when they get to their new teams, and they're giving up third-round picks, which is not a first or second, but it's still a decent draft pick to get a guy like that. So I think it's a seller's market, and I do think that there are good players out there that teams are looking at. I mean, you guys know it all too well about Rick Nash. You know, obviously Nashville being involved with Rick Nash, that's big. Vander Kane, Thomas Vanek, some rentals. Ottawa's got a bunch of guys with contracts still with time left on their deals. It's a good market for the sellers, but the buyers are going to buy them up, I think. And I think we're going to see some pretty good movement. We've already seen a couple things happen. And I think we're going to see some, I think this time around it's going to be a pretty exciting lead up to the deadline. That's just the gauge that I'm getting.
Yep, I'm with you because I think there's a lot of teams that are buyers right now and they're looking to go for it. And I am interested to know, Dan, how this week plays out. When you see a St. Louis team, if we would ask this question 2-3 weeks ago, I think the Blues felt really good where they were sitting. They were top three in the Central. They were right there in the thick of things with Nashville and Winnipeg. And here of late, they've slid down, and now they're dangerously close to be on the outside looking in. And then you've got a team like Dallas who's done just the opposite. They've been basically on the outside looking in or hanging around that wild card spot. Now they've jumped into the top three of the Central. How do you think this week kind of will change things for some front offices, knowing that maybe for a team like St. Louis that's sliding down, that may say we may have to do whatever it takes now to do something to add a piece to kind of get everybody jump started again?
Well, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see because it's what do those teams believe in themselves? What do they believe about their team? What do those general managers believe about those teams? I saw something that Doug Armstrong from the Blues said the other day. He goes, I'm not sure we're one player away. What does that mean? Does that mean he doesn't think they're close, or does that mean he thinks their team right now should be good enough? Take that for however it may be. You mentioned that the Blues and the Stars are third in the Central. Well, they have the same amount of points. It's just that St. Louis has played two more games than Dallas. And Minnesota's right there, one behind them. Anaheim is on the outside. They got the same amount of points as Minnesota, but they've played two more games. Calgary's still sniffing around, too. Colorado is sniffing around. It's a lot of teams right in the mix there. And it's almost like, a race to see. You almost want it to be a race to see who could get that missing piece, that ingredient that helps them put them over the top. And that is part of what makes it a seller's market. There are a lot of buyers out there, but there are good pieces out there that are trying to be sold. And, it could drive up the price on a Rick Nash or a Vander Kane if multiple teams think that he's the guy. that can help them get it out. And that's great for the Rangers, maybe not so great for the team that's getting them, but you got to take a chance. You got to go for it. It's open. Let me put it this way. It's wide open. If Nashville were to play Minnesota right now, if Nashville were to play St. Louis right now, which is exactly how it would line up if the playoffs started today. Now, not everybody's played the same amount of games, so it's unfair. But if Nashville were to play St. Louis right now, I'd pick Nashville to win the series, but I'm not wiping St. Louis off the board and saying they got no chance. Same deal with Vegas playing Minnesota. That would be what it'd be right now. I think you'd have people out there saying, hey, I think Minnesota can win that series because it's that close. So that's what makes it a seller's market. There's a number of players out there that can be bought, but, if there's a lot of buyers, price gets driven up a little bit.
Dan Rosen on the line with us, NHL.com. So as you can imagine, Elie Tolvanen, the first-round pick by the Predators, the 18-year-old young man, has been tearing up in the KHL, has been tearing it up in the Olympics. How much of what we've been watching over in South Korea, Dan, do you think can maybe also change the mind of some front offices, knowing that they maybe have some young players? I saw the young man, unfortunately, U.S. dropping their game in the shootout to Czech Republic, but a young man that can help maybe Anaheim down the stretch or the Bruins. How much does that factor in?
Well, I don't know, because I think they would have known that already. I don't think the Olympics Olympic tournament makes or breaks a guy's chance of getting in this year, if he's even going to get in this year. Like a Ryan Donato with Boston. He had a great Olympics for Team USA. Troy Terry for Anaheim, had a great Olympics for Team USA. I think those teams would know what they have in those players, and if those players want to leave college early at the end of this season, there probably is a place for them. So I also don't think general managers go off of the basis of, well, that guy who's never played in the NHL before, he might be the difference maker for my team to win the Stanley Cup. That's not how they think. So it's nice stories. They're nice stories, and maybe those guys can come in and make an impact if they sign at the end of their collegiate seasons. But you can't rely on that if you believe you've got a team that can go the distance. I think if you believe you have a team that can go the distance, you got to go out into this market and try to find that piece that's going to help that's going to help solidify you or bolster you or stabilize your team a little bit. Maybe not put you over the top, but stabilize it and give you that depth that you need to go on the run. I mean, you know how important depth is in the playoffs, man. It's so key. And that's why the Bruins, in fact, go out and get a guy like Nick Holden, pay a third-round pick and a prospect, because he's a left-side defenseman and they need depth at that position. And they think they can win it this year.
Sharks will be here on Thursday. What can you tell us about San Jose? They've been playing well of late.
Really well of late. And they're doing it without Joe Thornton, which is which is remarkable considering what they've been able to do. Joe Pavelski has picked up his game. He's finally scoring some goals. I saw a stat today where they've got 21 goals in their last six games. They're all at even strength. Every one of their goals in the last six games, 21 of them. So that's more than three games at even strength. They got 61 goals at even strength in their last 24 games. Their power play hasn't been great, but they're scoring, and they're finding ways to score at even strength. And that I think can make a team dangerous, because if they can score at even strength, and that's what's making the Sharks dangerous, if they can score at even strength and they pot a power play goal every once in a while, they're scoring enough goals to beat you. In the NHL, you need three or four to win on most nights. So they have been playing really, really well of late, 5-1 in their last six games. Dangerous team right now.
We're talking to Dan Rosen from NHL.com. And, Dan, you just said it. We get excited at this time of the year. We hope that you have these great stories. So let me ask you, like, realistically, what are the chances that some teams just decide to just blow it up, that they're trying to retool? Like, for example, Erik Karlsson up in Ottawa. What realistically are the chances that he would get moved?
Well, I think the chances of Erik Karlsson getting moved before the deadline are low. I think it's realistic to consider that he would get moved by the draft or in the offseason. If he indicates to Ottawa that he's not interested right now in re-signing, and they're making this push to retool their core and save some money at the same time, I think they, unfortunately, as good as he is, they're probably going to have to trade him. They can't go into the next season with him not – giving them any assurance that he's going to re-sign. I mean, the Islanders have done that with John Tavares, and it's been a story that's plagued the Islanders all year long. What's John Tavares going to do? And to Tavares' credit, he hasn't made it a story. He's just been as good as advertised. But I think there's a good chance Carlson can get traded in the offseason if things don't go the way the Senators might want in a negotiation. Team's blowing it up. I mean, certainly Ottawa's got other pieces they could trade. Derek Brassard has got one more year on his deal. He could be had, certainly. I wouldn't trade Mike Hoffman if I were them. I think he's a really good player, and he could be a part of the answer there, but they might. And the New York Rangers have pretty much waved the white flag, you know, in terms of, you know, moving players and retooling their roster to get younger. They've lost four in a row. You know, they've fallen back. They're 6 points back now, but I don't think it's very realistic for them to consider themselves as in the playoff mix at this point, even though they're six back. There's other teams ahead of them, and they're going to trade Rick Nash. They're going to trade Michael Grabner. You know, everybody, that's all indications are there. So Detroit's got some guys to trade. Buffalo certainly has some guys to trade. You know, you can go, you know, Arizona may. Arizona's interesting because they've got some guys, but I don't think they want to trade them, like a Nicklas Hjalmarsson or an Antti Raanta, who could be had and could be valuable, but I don't think they want to trade them. Edmonton's got some guys, certainly Vancouver. So there are not as many sellers as there are buyers, but there's good players out there.
I'm really curious about the Islanders and the Tavares situation, because I'm sure there's some teams out there going, you know what, if we position ourselves, we could make a run at one of the best players in the game, but we got to have a lot of salary cap space set aside.
Yeah.
So how does that affect what they might do at the trade deadline here?
Well, if teams think that they can be in the market for John Tavares, if they think he's going to get to the market, then they're not going to look to add salary for next season at the deadline. They don't mind taking on a remainder of a deal for a guy who could be a rental this year, but they can't. They have to look at their salary cap situation and where their team lies. You know, for instance, I'm trying to think, like a team like the Montreal Canadiens, who are not in the playoff mix right now, they have cap space. Carey Price's number goes up, but they could lose Thomas Plekanec in the offseason, so that wipes it off. So maybe they'd have some space right there to consider themselves, okay, let's stand pat. Maybe we can subtract here. We're not going to the playoffs, and we can make a run at Tavares. You know, that's how teams have to be thinking right now. If they realistically think that John Tavares is going to go to the market on July 1st, for the Islanders, though, look, I mean, get him done as soon as possible, right? Get this thing. If Tavares wants to re-sign there, and all indications that he has said is he wants to, I think it's incumbent on the Islanders to push the envelope here and say, let's get this done right now. And it's not, money's not an option, because they're going to give him whatever he wants. It's just, let's get this done. And it hasn't happened yet.
It sounds very familiar, Dan, as you know. I mean, we saw Steven Stamkos, everything worked out in Tampa Bay, but we went through the Ryan Suter thing here in Nashville.
Absolutely.
So, don't you think they've got to have some pangs of fear there if it's not done?
I would hope so. If they don't, they're not doing it the right way, you know. You got to have some pangs of fear. What I would do right now if I were the Islanders, if I was Gar Snow, I would do whatever I can to beef up my defense before the trade deadline, to bolster my team for a playoff, to get into the playoffs. That, to me, shows, if I'm John Tavares, I see what ownership and management is trying to do. They're trying to put a winner on the ice, trying to build it, trying to get us into the playoffs, and not just hanging them idly by and watching us give up 40 or 50 shots a game because our defense isn't good enough. I would make a push if I were the Islanders. They're in a completely different situation than, say, the Rangers. The Rangers have been one of the better playoff teams of late. They never got over the hump and won the cup, but now they're looking at needing a retool. The Islanders have won one playoff round with John Tavares in his entire career there, and now they face the prospect of losing him for nothing.
Boy, from afar, it does. You do wonder, you know, privately or people around John Tavares. So they're saying, you know what, you might ought to take a look at what else is out there. You know, I hope. I always love the loyalty. I love to see a guy stay and stick it out and work through and maybe see the fruits on the other side. It's probably really satisfying that way. But, man, that's an interesting one. I bet you some GMs are probably saying, you know what, if he hits the market, we're ready to make our pitch.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this. They have to be, and there's that window before July 1st for them to look at, to talk to players and quote-unquote not negotiate, but really negotiate. You know, and there's that window before July 1st, and if Tavares hits that window without a contract from the Islanders, I mean, he then gets to see what else is out there. He then can see the interest from teams. He gets wined and dined. And you know what? Maybe that loyalty to the Islanders, it fades a little bit in that time. It didn't for Steven Stamkos. So that's the example of positivity if you're an Islander fan, is Steven Stamkos went through that whole thing. He talked to a few other teams, but he didn't want to leave Tampa. You know, he loved it in Tampa, didn't want to leave, said it. And maybe that's the same thing with Tavares. We'll see. But you got to have the fear now if he's, you know, he's not resigned. The other part about this, you know, if you're the Islanders, I think they could, maybe they did privately, go to Tavares and say, give us an indication, please, because it's really going to, whatever you do impacts everything we do. And maybe they did that already. They've been very, they're very private about what they do. But if they haven't, if they haven't gone to Tavares and asked for an indication of what's going on, then I think they're missing the boat because they got to have an idea.
Dan, we just want to take one moment of appreciation here. Some people tweeted this out in light of the Eric Goodbranson 4 years, or what was it, 3 years, $12 million, $4 million per year?
$4 million per year, yeah.
And the perspective here was that's what Roman Josi makes.
Yeah.
Matthias Ekholm makes 3.75 and Ryan Ellis makes 2.5. So the going rate for defensemen is high, but the reason, one of the big reasons the Predators are where they are is they have three great defensemen that don't make what a lot of, well, yeah, I'm not even counting PK. Obviously, he's getting right. more of the market value, right, of
sure.
a star defenseman.
Yeah.
But it's amazing the cap space that still remains because of some long-term deals that they made years ago.
And that is why they need to win the Stanley Cup in the next 2 years. Right? That is
dead on.
That is why that is why it is incumbent on David Poile to do whatever he possibly can. And he has done that. Give him full marks. Give him credit. He is doing whatever he possibly can to get this team into the best possible roster, to put him in the best possible position to win the Stanley Cup. Because when Ryan Ellis' contract is up, that cap hit's going to go way up. Okay. Same with Roman Josi. Same with Matthias Ekholm. Got to get it done while your players are still relatively cheap.
Dan, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this, and we'll certainly talk to you down the road here real soon.
You got it, guys.
All right, that is Dan Rosen, NHL.com. We'll come back and wrap up the first hour. But first, I want to talk to you about weight loss management. All of us had to deal with this as adults, right? It's an ever-increasing field that's full of empty promises and a bunch of yo-yo dieting, dangerous diet supplements. We've all probably either been aware of that or flirted with some of that stuff. And you know what? It's just time at Cool Springs MD to go there and let them provide you a safe and effective weight loss management solution. That's what you need. That's what I need. And you can talk to Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, who is the board-certified physician, his wife, Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse. They've been helping folks in this area here in Middle Tennessee become healthier and happier for over 20 years. Every individual is different. They know that. And they know that their professional staff at Cool Springs MD is passionate about giving you the one-on-one attention that you deserve. Go take a tour of their state-of-the-art facility and meet their on-site trainers and counselors. Learn more about weight loss management. Find out your options and how to achieve a healthy lifestyle by calling Cool Springs MD. Make an appointment at 615-660-6900. That's 660-6900. Or visit their website for everything. CoolSpringsMD.com.